Just recentred myself for a minute. I'm really nervous. You know, and just before 10 minutes ago, I was sat in that room and, you know, doing a little meditation and praying that, you know, I'll speak from my heart and not from my head, you know, because if I'm speaking from my head, fuck knows what's going to come out. So, you know, I'd just like to bring God into the room with me, and I'm going to start off by leading a little prayer as well. So, God, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, and that where there are shadows, I may bring the light, and that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. God, grant me that I may seek rather than to comfort than to be comforted, to understand that to be understood, to love than to be loved, for it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to the eternal life. Amen. Okay. My name's Teresa and I'm an addict. So I suppose I'll give you a little bit of how I got into recovery, you know, and what life's like for me now, and, you know, and going through the process and going through the 12 steps. And, you know, my recovery starts at home. I've got a beautiful little girl in there who's able to be part of my recovery today. You know, and I first come into the fellowship in 2012, you know, and when I come in, Gracie, which is my daughter, will have been about two. And I thought, you know, we speak about them rock bottoms and, you know, this is it. And I thought that that was it for me. Do you know, and I thought that, you know, life had got that bad at that point. You know, I couldn't stop drinking. I couldn't stop using. You know, I started off as a real social butterfly. You know, when I started using, life was amazing. And I was going out partying all the time. And but quite quickly, that started to change. You know, and when I found out that I was pregnant, you know, and it, there used to be a running commentary around where I lived, or Daniela Westbrook's about, and I was like, yeah, do you know, and I used to love that, do you know, and everyone thought that I was really big time, and I thought in my head that I was, you know, and I had created this real perception of who I wanted to be, and, you know, from where I kind of come from growing up in domestic violence, moving around, refuges, you know, jails with my dad, and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to be something better, you know, and something more. And drugs give me that, you know, at first. And, you know, I never settled down anywhere. I never fitted in anywhere. And when I found cocaine, I'd arrived, you know, and it says that in the book. And, you know, and all of a sudden I could be anybody that I wanted. You know, and it carried on like that for some time. And I was in a relationship, you know, I met Gracie's dad at a really young age who just happened to be a drug dealer, you know, because that's how I liked him. I liked all my boyfriends to be drug dealers because they had something that I wanted. You know, and when... I didn't really see it being a problem, you know, because I had no responsibility. You know, it was only me I had to look after, so I didn't really care if I didn't turn up for work, if I had to change jobs. I didn't really care that I was letting my mum down or my family down, and, you know, I was letting my friends down saying that I'd be here, and you know, I wasn't really that bothered, you know, because I just carried on, and it was only me. And I fell pregnant with my daughter, who Gracie, when I was 27, and it was the biggest shock that I'd ever had. And I thought, thank God, this is a blessing, you know, because things up to that point, you know, a couple of years before, that was fine. But then things had, you know, I'd started using on my own, you know, cocaine had started to rule my life. I was awful with it. I was a fucking nightmare, you know, with it inside me, but I was just as bad without it inside me, you know. And when Gracie was born, you know, the first thing I went and did when I found out, which is so selfish, you know, I went and drank and I used because I didn't know how to handle that, do you know, and then I thought, sorry, it's God, do you know, and when she was, and then I thought, okay, I'm going to stop now tomorrow, and I didn't, you know, I used all through my pregnancy, you know, and she's a miracle that she's here today, you know, and it's a miracle that I'm sat here today as well. Do you know, and I just to probably abbreviate a little bit, my mum had an abortion with me at 13, and she thought that that was it. At 7 months pregnant, I was still alive, do you know, and that shows God working in my mum's life. And, you know, and I believe that God has been in my life and has brought me here today, but I was so blocked off. from what the truth was and what was really happening for me, that I couldn't see the grass through the trees, as they might say. You know, so eventually, when Gracie was born, you know, everyone pitied me, and because I was really poorly throughout the pregnancy, but nobody knew I was using, do you know what I mean? You know, because I hid it. You know, everyone pitied me, look how much weight she's lost, she's in and out of hospital all the time, and all of this, and really, the truth of the matter is, I was putting something in my body that I shouldn't have been doing, and my body reacted to it, but I just couldn't stop. You know, so from there, I started to go into drug and alcohol services, and as people said, you know, just use at the weekends, you know, don't, just use 1 gram, don't use 5, don't use on Tuesdays, and maybe keep a little chart, and none of that worked for me, and I come to the rooms as CA. You know, and when I come through the rooms of CA, I heard a message, you know, and the message that I did hear was to keep coming back. And that is my experience. You know, I know people have come through the rooms and the minute they've walked in, they've got a 12-step program and they've never had to drink or use again. That wasn't my experience, do you know, but what my experience and my journey has been, you know, my daughter was 2. I was in a rehab. I went to a rehab, to a therapeutic one for 6 months. It was on the 16th of December, 2013. My mum was heartbroken. By this point, I'd lost my home. I'd lost my partner of 12 years. I was about to lose my daughter. And I got to go into a treatment centre. And I thought I was never going to use again. You know, and I went in there, learned a bit about my childhood and how bad things were for me and, you know, and the boyfriends, it was this decision and that decision. And, you know, and I come back and I started to build my life. My mum took the time off work 6 months and she had my little girl for me. And when I come back out, I started to drink and use again. And slowly, I had a little bit of control for a little bit of time, not long, and slowly but surely, I was broken. I was an absolute mess. For 3.5 years, I went out, and occasionally I'd rock up back in a meeting, maybe once a year, cry. But I couldn't stop, you know, and this had now took me to a point of where I was drinking and using on my own every night. I was scared of my own heartbeat, and I was scared of my own shadow. You know, I was crawling around on the floor while the house was in pitch black, you know, and I'd be crying, going to the drug dealer, crying and thinking, how have I got here again? You know, Gracie was getting older now. She didn't know what mum was going to turn up. The people who were coming through the door. You know, my life was a mess. The curtains were shut. I was locked away. And I wanted to die. You know, and that's my truth. And I couldn't see any other way out. You know, Gracie wasn't going to school. She was 6 and she started to become my carer almost. You know, in the morning, rubbing my back, being sick and. Do you know, just all of that, and I remember I used to have the big book in my room, you know, the big book never left me, you know, and I used to get it out, reading it sometimes off my nut, thinking, oh, do you know, and I carried on, and the point of that is last year, you know, my family had all been now put to one side, you know, my mum, with the sleepless nights that my mum had gone round fretting every single drug dealer in the whole of the town where I lived. You know, she paid off that many drug debts. She didn't know whether she'd come home to me dead or alive. And she used to plead with me and say, I will take your daughter away from you if you don't stop. And I believe the only reason I've still got Gracie in my life is because she's a blessing from God. But, you know, my mum, without my mum, that wouldn't have been the case for me. You know, and January last year, there was vodka glasses everywhere. Gracie had not been to school for days. I were about 8 stone piss wet through. You know, I were a mess. And my mum come round. And in the end, I remember I had gone out to score again, come back. And she said, what is going on? And something broke in me that day. And I turned round and I broke to my knees. And I said, I can't do this anymore. And my mum hugged me. And she packed me a bag. And she packed Gracie's bag. And off we went to my mum's. And then she took me to CA the next day. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me because I absolutely love CA. You know, like, I absolutely love it, you know, and I kept coming back. And, you know, when I couldn't do it for myself, other people did it for me at first because I struggled, you know, and there's people in this room that, you know, are my beautiful friends now today. You know, I've let go of my old life. Don't want to be in that life anymore. I don't want to be the gangster's moll anymore. And I don't want to be caught up in all the chaos and all of that. That's not my experience. And, you know, my mum was going to send me back to rehab. She was going to remortgage the house again. to send me back to rehab. And somebody said to me, Teresa, you can do this in the room. You know, what you need to do is pick up these 12 steps. You need to get in the middle of the fucking boat and you need to start to put some action in. And I went, okay, that's what I'll do. You know, and from there, I went through the process, and it was tough. I held on, and I started to see some truth in what happened, you know, in my addiction. And I was a tornado. I whirled through everybody's life like a fucking rocket. Do you know, I didn't care who I hurt. I didn't care who I stamped on. I didn't care about myself. Everything that I said I would never do, I'd done. I'd lost all my self-worth, all my self-respect, you know, my dignity, and my family's, you know, I put them through hell. And, you know, and I stuck around and I went through the steps and I decided to put the program down because I thought, oh, I can, you know, maybe this time it might be a little bit different. And at 9 months last year, I picked up for one night. Oh, it was horrible. It was nothing like I'd ever used before, do you know. It was 1 gram of coke. I was on my own, but it wasn't the point of that. Something had changed in me. You know, something had changed in those 9 months that I had let God into my life. But what I did do is I blocked him off again. I started running the show. You know, and I very quickly the next day picked up the phone. I got humble. I went back into a meeting, you know, and I got a new sponsor who came into my life. And when I went through the steps this time, because when I went through the steps last year, when it got to the amends, somebody else shared it, I was like, I've done a few of them now. I didn't even say sorry to my mum, and it's not even about saying sorry. I wrote a letter and I put a bunch of flowers on a bed. I didn't go and make direct amends, you know, and I thought I'd done enough because I'd never been, you know, 9 months sober. So this time was very, very different. You know, and I've just celebrated 12 months clean and sober, which is an absolute miracle. And it's a miracle to be sat here today. And, you know, and part of that process is being willing to go to any lengths and put the wrongs right. Because when I did a step four and I did a thorough step four, and, you know, I undigged every little cranny and all the wrongs and, you know, and all that belief that, you know, from my dad, I hated my dad growing up. You know, I had hate around resentments around my mom, my family, you know, my Gracie's dad. I was with him for 12 years and I blamed him. It was your fault that I'm an addict. You was a drug dealer and you give me that. And when it wasn't, you know, when he'd had enough, I was expected to put it down. That wasn't the truth. You know, the truth is I got with him for a reason at 18. And then I was awful to that man. You know, when he, because I had that restless, irritable and discontent, you know, that knot in your stomach, never feeling good enough, always needing to feel something. When he couldn't feel that, when drinking drugs couldn't feel that, I looked elsewhere. You know, I was a liar. I was a cheat. My step four, reading my step five out really showed me the person that I'd become. And through that, you know, my real dad, my biological dad, he died as a heroin addict. And he hung himself. He took his own life. And I hated him for it. Hated him. I never met the guy, but I hated him. And I blamed him because, again, you as a heroin addict, so you've made me an addict, which isn't the truth, you know. And I really started to see in that step four and reading it out, writing it down and sharing it, what my part was to play in that. You know, and looking at that was really difficult. I felt like I'd been hit by a volcano or something, you know, like all the real truth of all them years of using and the wreckage that the harm that I'd caused, you know, to my poor mum. To Rick, to Gracie's dad, to my fucking daughter, do you know, and I carried on, and I went out and I made an amends, you know, and not everybody's wanted to have my amends, if I'm honest, but God will put them in my path at the right time, and at the right place, you know, and with my mum, I didn't write her a letter this time. And it wasn't 1,000 sorries because she'd heard 1,000 sorries off me many and many times. And do you know what I did? That, you know, I give my mum hope so many times and I took that hope away from her every time I went back and did what I did. And this time was very different, you know, and I sat with my mum and it wasn't about me and it wasn't about saying sorry, you know, and I asked her what it was like for her. And I said that I'm really emotional, sorry, you know, and I said to her, you know, for all the harms, and I named them harms that I'd caused, you know, those sleepless nights and robbing her of a peace of mind. And, you know, it wasn't about money, or it wasn't that I'd went round and I stole a telly, because that wasn't my experience. I sold my body to get money for drugs, you know, and that's my truth, you know, but I stole her mind. And she looked at me and she cried, and she says, all I want is you just, all I want you to do is keep doing what you're doing. I love you so much and I'm so proud of you. And she just hugged me again. And, you know, and she also told me the truth of what was really happening. You know, and that was just one of my amends. And, you know, on a daily basis, I make amends. You know, I believe that recovery starts at home. You know, I no longer have to sit in a meeting every single day of the week. And that's not my ego saying that. You know, I have a God in my life now and I'm safe and protected. You know, and I am, as long as I do what's suggested. You know, if I get up in the morning, I pray, I meditate, you know, I work with other women. I love working with other women. You know, it's absolutely beautiful. And that's what fills my self-esteem, and it fills my little soul and my little heart, you know, because all the things that I hated on myself for over the years that I'd done destroyed me. I lost who I was. I completely lost. I don't think I ever fucking knew, actually, if I'm honest. You know, and yeah, you know, and waking up with Gracie every morning, being able to have breakfast with her at a table, there's no chaos, there's no carnage, and every night she puts her arms around me and says, I love you, Mum. And she says, when I moved back home with Gracie, because I stayed at my mum's for 3 months, when we moved back home, and she didn't want to move back home with me because she was scared, my daughter's no longer scared anymore. She loved being at home with me. She would be by my side every single day. And she says, Mummy, are you not going to a meeting today? You know, and that's part of my amends to my daughter. You know, and doing what I'm doing here today is part of my amends. You know, and my graveside, I went to my dad's graveside for the first time. I'm 35 years of age. And I sat with my dad, you know, and I said, sorry, you know, for all them times I hated on him, you know, and we can both shine bright together, you know, and I believe that he's here with me now, and he looks over me, and he'd always had been, but I was so fucking blocked off that I wouldn't let anybody in, you know, so by the grace of God, you know, what I call God, you know, I've still got a journey, I'm still on my journey, and I've still got amends to make, which will come in the right timing, in God's time, not in my time, but I'm willing, you know, and for anybody who might be struggling, or anybody who, you know, he's just resenting, or I don't know, he's just believe, you know, there is a God, you know, and there is something around us all, and something that's so beautiful and so magical, and if we're willing to let that open just a little bit of our hearts, you know, it'll come in and sprinkle its magic on you guys like it has done to me, so I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sure.